It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And the events of this time of year, the big number one big event that always happens mid-August is the migration of the Nighthawks. And Tony from Dixon Lake said that they were milling about his cabin, his house, this past week. I have yet to see any Nighthawks over my house. Perhaps you have seen them at your house, perhaps not, but I would very much encourage you to keep your eye open, and when you see them, send us a note. We love to understand more about what's happening in our area. The other momentous event of this past week, and one that I warned you about a week ago, I'm not saying I'm prescient, I'm just saying that I have the data, and and the hazelnuts are gone. So if you didn't get out and gather your hazelnuts, well, you should have been more active, because between last Thursday, when I was out sort of surveying the crop, and Sunday, they disappeared. Yesterday I was out and I made a concerted effort to find hazelnuts, and I found four, and two of them had a hole in them, so they were probably overlooked by those animals that were harvesting the hazelnuts and enjoying them. So if once again, if you were thinking of filberts for your daiquiris, well, probably going to have to do something else this year. Just maybe have a martini instead. But they'll be next year. And by the way, it was a remarkably good year for hazelnuts. And I think the few that I did see left over were probably just the animals that were collecting them probably just got tired. There were a lot of hazelnuts this year, which is good for the animals that need them. I had a couple of encounters with animals this past week that were really sort of interesting. One, I was up at Sand Lake, did a program up there, and on the way home, I drove by this little pond right alongside the road, and here's a mom and dad trumpeter swan and two little cygnets all hanging out there. Little cygnets, they were like the size of a Canada goose, but they were all looking healthy and fine in that pond, and that was pretty special. And then the next day, I was driving up to the bog, and a family of otters crossed the road in front of me, a mother with four, I'm not sure what a baby otter is called, a kit maybe, I don't know, but anyway, there were four baby otters with her. She crossed the road and two followed right behind her, and then there was a gap and then two more, and I was quite close to the second ones, and these things were just a little bit bigger than a gray squirrel, but nearly black. Boy, they were dark, dark animals, and they looked really cool crossing the road in front of me. I really enjoyed that sighting. And then, just 100 feet past that, a red fox is sitting on the edge of the road, and as I approach, now I have slowed down for the otters, and I'm approaching this red fox, he dashes into the ditch, and then he proceeds to run right beside me, parallel me in the ditch, so that I get this great look at him, and he is healthy, and he's just running along, and I'm not going that fast, but he's keeping up without any effort at all. It was just a thrilling moment, really a neat experience with the fox and the otters. That was pretty exciting for me. But back to the mundane. This is the season for asters and for goldenrods. The asters tend to be white or purple, and the goldenrods tend to be yellow. And so if you're seeing flowers of those colors, chances are you are looking at either the asters or the goldenrods. The gray goldenrod began to flower this past week. That goldenrod, I find it fairly easy to identify because the flower cluster at the top of the plant is relatively compact. It seems to be a single plume of multiple flowers, but imagine your index finger just slightly bent, and the plume looks like that. It's going to be wider than your index finger unless you've got a really big hand. but it's going to be maybe an inch to an inch and a quarter wide at the base, and it's going to taper off to a tip that's relatively blunt, about like your fingertip, and they're going to be just that little compact tuft of flowers right at the top. No spreading branches from that tuft, just one sort of compact group of flowers at the top, and that is gray goldenrod, one of the easier ones to identify. The other goldenrod that's blooming right now that's pretty easy to identify is one called grass-leaved, or in some books it's called flat-topped, and it is a yellow flower. All the flowers are just about at the same height on the top of the plant. And, of course, grass-leaved, that tells you something about the leaves. They're very narrow and very long. They look a lot like a blade of grass. So the grass-leaved goldenrods and the gray goldenrods are blooming right now, and both of those are pretty easy to identify. The other side, the colorful side, those that aren't yellow, tend to be asters. And the asters divide up into two groups. One is the flat-topped aster, and those are big flower clusters that sometimes can be 9-10 inches across, and lots and lots and lots of white flowers all near the top of the plant, flat-topped. And all of those flowers have sort of white rays and yellow centers, and they're pretty easy to identify as well. And then you get to the purple and blue asters. And oh my word, things get complex. The northern heart-leafed aster, the purple-stemmed aster, the large-leafed aster, so many. And the challenge is to try and figure out who's who. And it can be, because I think there are 9 species of asters that bloom in Itasca County, and I think there are 11 or 13 that bloom statewide, and I think the number is even greater for the goldenrods. I think it's 11 in the county and 18 statewide, but those numbers may not be exact, but they're pretty close. There are lots and lots of goldenrods and lots of asters. And the challenge is trying to figure out who is who. And that's where you want to take yourself in the next couple of weeks, because those are going to be the really common flowers out there. Bracken fern is starting to turn brown, and I've seen some interrupted fern turning brown. We are getting close, you know. It's mid-August, and we all know what follows August, and it's called snow. So, you know, just hang in there. Another thing that I noticed this past week is the absence of the 12-spotted skimmer butterfly or dragonfly. Had been the most prominent dragonfly out and around the lakes where I've been, and this last week I saw none. Now that might have been a factor of weather, but I suspect that their time has come and has gone, and they're going to be replaced by the meadowhawks. And there are half a dozen meadowhawks. There's the ruby face, the white face, the yellow leg, the amber winged. I'm sure I've obviously missed several, but there are a lot of meadowhawks. Most of them are relatively small, an inch and a half to maybe an inch and three quarters long. The males typically are red, and the females typically are kind of a gold, yellowish, greenish gold kind of a color. And there are going to be a lot of them around, and you will probably see them until, I have seen them as late as November, depending on the weather. So get used to them and try to figure out who's who. Ironwood trees, the flowers are starting to turn brown. Bog laurel is blooming a second time, second bloom in the bog laurel. So if you're out in a bog and you're kind of wandering around, keep an eye out for pink flowers about three quarters of an inch across. And they're doing a second one, and not as many as there are in the early part of the year when they bloom in May, but they're throwing out a second group of flowers right now. And you may recall Mary from Nymore had mentioned that she had a flock of 20 Orioles come to her feeder. I've had a Baltimore Oriole, a young juvenile, trying to figure out how to work the hummingbird feeder, and seems to be mastering it a little bit anyway and getting a little juice out of it. But I would be real surprised if he sticks around. I think he'll be headed for southern climes very soon. We have quite a bit going on with pagoda dogwood. The berries are starting to turn a deep blue-black. Round leaf dogwood, I checked it yesterday. Some of the berries are kind of a cream, some are creamy, which is absolutely normal. And some are just now beginning to turn kind of a sky blue, really pale, pale blue. So check out the fruit on the dogwoods. And most of those dogwood fruits will end up in the bellies of bears. But I've never eaten one, so I don't know what they're like. I suppose I ought to avail myself of the opportunity and see how foul they really are. I'll let you know. Atlantis fritillary butterfly the other day, among other butterflies. I have seen a few monarchs this past week, a lot of white admirals, as Richard mentioned in his note. And so there are a number of butterflies still flying around, lots of sulfurs, clouded sulfurs, and they will be becoming even more prominent, especially on the hay fields in the next couple of weeks toward September. Poison ivy is coloring up for fall, kind of a corally, orangey red color right now, and a good time to sort of locate the patch in your neighborhood and stay away from it. Canada thistle has gone to seed in a big way. Most of the Canada thistle are in seed now, and you can see seeds blowing around from time to time. And so there's quite a bit of that going on. White sweet clover is kind of getting it to the end of its growing season. Common ragweed is beginning to bloom. And at my house, the red-bellied woodpecker juveniles are coming to the feeder to get sunflower seeds. And my final note this week is Juneberry. And I saw a couple of Juneberries this past week. And that is absolutely up to form. The Juneberries flower synchronously. So when they flower, when a flower bursts on a plant, on a Juneberry in the spring, the whole plant throws out all its flowers. And all the flowers or all the Juneberries around it are probably on about the same schedule, maybe a day or two off from the one you might be looking at. But generally, the Juneberries synchronously flower, but they asynchronously fruit, which means that they are likely to have some flowers that go from flower to fruit in 30 or 35 days, and some that go from flower to fruit in 45 to 50 days or 60 days. And the reason for that is that by spreading out their fruiting season, they increase their chance of putting seeds out that will become viable. Now, these seeds need to pass through the belly of a bird. That's how it works. Birds come along and eat the Juneberries, and then they move off a little way and they go to the bathroom and the seeds come out and new Juneberries are planted. And that's been working so far. So we'll let them keep doing that. But when you go out and look around at the Juneberries, if you see a few remaining fruits out there, if you were to take those fruits off of those trees, you would see that they have many fewer seeds than the early flowering, early fruiting varieties of Juneberry. As they stretch the season by putting out fruits over a longer period of time, they decrease the number of seeds that are available in each fruit. So just have to check that out. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.